Leaders, you and I both know how important social media is. Think about it like this. In the attention economy, there are hundreds of billions of hours spent by billions of eyes scrolling through social media every single day. If your business is not present, you're in trouble. Here's the problem. You're a busy leader. You don't have time to manage your own account. That's why you need Stevie Social, a social media agency that is going to take you and your business to the next level. Stevie Social specializes in delivering tailored social media strategies and seamless execution plans just for you. The strategies you get from Stevie Social are custom to your business, and they make it a plan that is effective for long-term growth. In today's digital landscape, a strong social media presence is essential, regardless of your industry. Go to Stevie.social today, that's Stevie.social, to schedule a free discovery call with them and click that you heard it on Leader Growth with David Skidmore. They'll give you a promo code of 15% off your first month with them. Are you kidding me? That's amazing. Stevie Social, they're changing the game. Go to Stevie.social, that's Stevie.social today. You know what I love? Springtime. The weather is warmer, NBA playoffs are coming, baseball season has just started. You know what I don't love? Spring cleaning. You probably don't either. That's why you need Beyond Janitorial. That's right, OKC residents. You can get your house cleaned while you're having lunch, taking a nap, getting a workout in, watching a movie, or listening to this podcast. Contact the team at Beyond Janitorial, the leader in commercial janitorial and residential cleaning services in Oklahoma. How does it work? Go to beyondjanitorial.com. That's beyondjanitorial.com and get a free quote on your home. And check this out. You'll get 25% off your first clean with discount code David. Terms can apply. That's 25% off your first clean with discount code David. Go to beyondjanitorial.com and give yourself the gift of a clean home this spring. I don't know how many days I got left. Don't know my time. I don't need your motivation. I wake up and tell myself you gotta. Welcome to the Leader Growth Podcast. I'm David Skidmore. This podcast is designed to help you overcome challenges and experience transformation in your life and in your leadership. And today, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking about something that is essential. I believe that this is one of those things that if you are a leader, if you have not done this very thing that we're talking about today, you're going to find that your organization is going to drift off course. As a leader, you're going to find yourself drifting off course, and the frustration that you're going to feel, the frustration that your organization is going to feel because of that is going to be tantamount. So what we're talking about today in your leadership is paramount. It's something very, very intentional that we have to go through. And in the conversation, I couldn't really think of anyone better to bring on for the podcast than our guest today. His name is Phil Klutz. Phil Klutz is a brilliant man. I've gotten to know Phil over the past couple decades. Really, we've gotten to know each other a lot better over the past few years. In the very foundation of Leader Growth, Phil helped me a lot in helping create Leader Growth, and helping launch it, helping bring it to life. Phil, if you know Phil, and Phil is very well known in the Oklahoma City Metro, beyond that as well, but Phil's worked with organizations like Chesapeake, Devon. He's one of the founders of Edmond Business Magazine. You can check that out at edmondbusiness.com. Here's what I think Phil really brings to the table, because I've seen him facilitate groups. I've seen him coaching people. I've seen him doing the very thing that we're talking about today. What I think Phil has a secret sauce is he's able to be an implementer of these very things that we're talking about. You know, some of you are familiar with the conversation from Traction and Rocket Fuel. Brilliant books, fascinating books. And they talk about the integrator. Sometimes people can only see one side or the other. Phil's able to see the big picture, and he's able to guide leaders who would self-define themselves both as a visionary or as an integrator. And in that, he's able to, I believe, coach people to results that they really want to experience in their life and also in their leadership. So with that being said, Phil Klutz, welcome to the Leader Growth Podcast.
Man, excited to be here. Thanks for jumping me in.
Yeah, well, from the beginning, we also just have to say this. You have 405 Leadership Advisors, which this is the definition of 405 leadership advisors. You know, we're talking about defining and implementing your strategy. Here it is, friends, helping you turn potential into reality through strategic planning, operational implementation, and leadership coaching. And this is the great news for our leader growth community. Through April 11th, you can go to 405leadership.com/LG to get a free coaching session. Now, everybody's not going to get a free coaching session, but you can apply for a free coaching session at 405leadership.com/LG. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into the conversation. Let's talk about being an integrator. You're a natural integrator, Phil. What I think is interesting is you're strategic and you're also tactical. What are some of the things that you enjoy about working with visionaries?
Man, I love partnering up with visionaries and helping them achieve what they see, right? You know, when you've got a vision put together and it excites people, it gets them moving, but sometimes it's getting from where you are to where you want to be and actually making that vision a reality. And that's one of my skill sets. Like you said, it's a talent for me of making those plans, making sure they come together and thinking through those strategic plans. And so, man, I could sit with leaders all day and just listen to their visions and listen to what they want to do and where they want to go and how they want to get there. And just help them put pieces together and help them connect dots and make those things happen.
On the other side of the conversation, and by the way, I'll just say this, I've seen you do that. I've experienced the gifting of you being able to do that, to be able to take these really big ideas and then go, actually, let's dial this in. Let's look at a plan and how this comes to life. I would also say that there are some people who are natural integrators like yourself. From your perspective, because you're looking at both visionaries and integrators, what are some of the keys of someone being a good integrator?
Yeah, I think a good key for an integrator is being a systems thinker. You know, I know you are a creative. You think about design and the way things look and the way things feel and how to make that things happen, which is hard technically for me, right? Like I struggle with some of that. But man, from a systems perspective, I'm always thinking about how things work together, how they influence each other or how they interact with each other. So I think that's a good key for a good implementer is to understand systems theory and how those things work. The other part of that is just being able to take perspective, being able to look at one thing and kind of step back to a different perspective or a higher perspective and look at a broad range and not just focus in on one thing at a time.
It's really interesting. Like when we're talking about the bigger perspective, is that something that you see naturally comes towards integrators, or is that something that you would say, I wish integrators would be able to view things from a bigger perspective because sometimes they get too focused on some of the details. What's the tension there?
I think it depends on the person. You know, a lot of people define themselves as detail oriented or high level thinkers, which I think is true for you. Kind of, you have a tendency towards one or the other. Really good integrators will do both really well. So for me, I'm a big picture thinker naturally, but over time I've learned and taught myself how to dive deep into the details when I need to. And so, it looks like, you know, starting with a broad level, whether it's a vision or it's a system or something we're working on, and then diving into details when needed, but then not forgetting that I've got to come back up to the surface and look at it holistically. So it's being able to move back and forth between those two perspectives that has provided a lot of that success that you see good implementation teams doing.
I think sometimes visionaries and integrators miss each other. I know like I felt that myself where I felt like either the vision I was trying to articulate wasn't getting caught. I know that a lot of times people that I've worked with have just missed where I was going, or what's probably happened even more often is I was missing what they were saying. So often we're not speaking the same language or going at the same speed. And so what are some of the challenges that you see as far as visionaries and integrators working together?
I think the biggest thing, you know, there's values and skills like listening and understanding, right? Is you've got to be able to understand that that a phrase that we used to use back in Chesapeake days where all styles get results, right? You can have different styles, but everybody gets results. And so you have to be able to listen and understand the other person. But I think one key thing to do is make sure you're setting boundaries and expectations. So if you've got a visionary and an integrator who are working together doing this, and you're unclear on which one is doing what part, or you're unclear of what you expect from the other person, you're going to miss that so often, right? And so setting good boundaries, setting good expectations, talking through who's doing what, what's your timing, you know, where your roles are is really important.
That's really good. One of the things I'm curious about on this, because I've seen this happen with a lot of organizations, especially some of the smaller organizations, is time frames can be really difficult to communicate. So sometimes leaders think that they're communicating really clear expectations, but the challenge isn't necessarily those expectations. It could be, but sometimes it's the time frame that they expect things to happen within as far as their expectations. Do you notice more often than not, like, visionary struggle? Is it more with really dialing in and communicating expectations, or is it unrealistic expectations in the pace that they expect people to be able to contribute, or the pace that they expect their people to sustain?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's just leaving it too ambiguous. You know, a lot of times you'll have a launch date or you'll have some date in the future. And especially in a visionary mind, it's like, oh, we're going to get there. And it's arbitrary. And so I'm a big fan of deadlines, even if they're, you know, made up deadlines, of steps within the process or, delivery dates, things like that, where like, hey, it doesn't matter if we hit this or miss this in one sense, but you've got to have something that you're aiming at that's a very specific date, rather than just saying, hey, let's get this done and then we'll go here. It's got to be pretty specific. So you have to set deadlines there and make sure that those are communicated. You know, it's next week, right? Like, I can get you something next week. Great. Is that Monday? Is that Wednesday? Is that Friday? When is that? And how does that work? Because you could get super frustrated on Wednesday because you don't have a deliverable from somebody on your team when they were thinking it was due by Friday. And then you're upset and you come into a meeting upset. You know, it leads to so many hard conversations and tough misses, and you end up getting misaligned on those things.
I like that a lot. Okay. I want to do a quick game in our podcast because we've gotten to do a lot together. I didn't tell you about this game.
You did not.
So here's what I want to do. I want you to respond, but you can only respond with one word. To these to the thing that I'm going to share. I'm going to share like a leadership term or a project management term. If you don't know Phil doesn't just have a great understanding of the strategy side. You probably caught it right there. He also talked about timelines, time frames. Phil has a really great background in project management. And so knowing what's realistic, how do we execute on these things? And also just how do we create deadlines? So here we go. For you as a leader, when you're working, this can be working with other leaders or simply working with yourself. Here we go. I'm going to give you a word or a phrase, and then I want you to respond with like a one word, how this word makes you feel. You ready? Ooh. Yeah, I know. We're tapping in.
Tapping into feelings. Come on.
Exactly. Strategy.
Oh, beautiful.
Vision.
Clarity.
Meetings.
Redundant.
Gantt chart.
Oh, beautiful.
Venn diagrams.
Those are my life. You know this, right? If it can't be explained in a good Venn diagram or a 2x2 matrix, you can't explain something, right?
that's the Phil Klutz that I know. Okay, so let's continue forward in this. All right. You've been facilitating leadership groups, you're coaching leaders now. What are Phil's keys to great leaders?
Oh, great leaders. Great leaders are learners, right? This isn't anything new probably for your audience, but And if you're not listening and learning and branching out on new things, it's really hard to be a leader.
Can I jump in on that?
What's that?
Can I jump in on that?
Absolutely.
Sure. Okay. So I agree with you. Within the idea of listening and learning, do you recommend a more intentional path for leaders where that's a set time in their schedule or a set rhythm in their life? Or is that more of just a general posture? And I'm not saying it has to be an either or, but just when you're envisioning that, like how does the listening and learning, because I know a lot of people say, I want to listen and learn more. Mm. I'm so busy, Phil. How do I make time for this?
Yeah, I think rhythms are so important. Daily, weekly, even yearly rhythms, but it's a posture, right? You have to be willing to learn, in any instance, right? I'm not talking about like book learning or taking a course or something, but learning the world around you, right? Paying attention to people. I know for me, like rhythms have been huge in times where it's like, man, I'm not going to read a book for a few weeks or a month, right? Of like, and I've been consuming so much content that I need to sit down and sit with it or even spend more of that time creating content, writing, and doing that thing rather than reading everybody else's stuff. And that can be learning too, right? You know, I learn a lot when I put a pen to a paper, and start writing out my thoughts. So that's, I don't know if that answered your question, but it's a posture, but it's also a very practical thing where you have to be intentional about learning in all aspects of life.
Yeah. Okay. There's a second part. So you said listening and learning, and then you were also saying that there's a second.
Oh man, there's lots to being a good leader, but you know, casting a vision, right? If you're leading, if somebody is following you, then you have to know where you're going, and so you have to be able to have a vision and articulate it. And then one of the big ones, I think, leaders in my mind are risk takers. And it, you know, it doesn't have to be thrill seeking, you know, throwing all your money at something, you know, entrepreneurial, but just being willing to step up in a meeting and say something that's uncomfortable, or, you know, taking a risk on trying something new, you know, those type of things. So, having a vision, being a learner, being risk-taking, those things all have to be there for a leader to really step into who they're going to be.
Mm, that's good. Okay. So, I think I said this earlier, but I want to say it again. Part of your gifting, I would say your secret sauce, is helping leaders define and implement strategy. So that's what we're going to dive into. We've talked kind of from a high level, visionaries, integrators, leaders' heart, leaders' mindset. How do we approach? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the importance of leaders defining and implementing strategy.
Yeah. So I think, this may be in the book Traction you mentioned, but think about, you got a vision, right, as a leader. And what comes next, right? You've got to implement that vision somehow. And so, I think about, you know, if you're an airline, right, and your goal is to get people on your airplanes and fly them to their destination. If you don't tell them, you know, where the airplane's taking off from, where it's going, what time, you know, how many seats do you have, what services are available, right? If you just kind of say, hey, I want to fly you somewhere, that doesn't do any good. And so you've got to define those things and put that strategy together. And so you've got to talk about, you know, timelines and expectations. You've got to talk about what's good, what's bad, what's the environment like, all of those things to start to define and develop that strategy to make that vision a reality.
Can we dig into this a little bit more? Because I think sometimes when people start hearing, okay, I need to define a strategy, especially, big idea people. Mm-hmm. They go, oh man, we're getting into the weeds. How many times have you heard that? I just don't want to get right into the weeds. I want to stay at 60,000 feet. So like when you're talking about defining a strategy, let's actually define that part of this.
Yeah. So like a hard definition, right? So you know, you're going to define the what and the how to accomplish your vision. What are you going to do to get there? How are you going to do it? And what does it look like when you get there? And that's kind of like, in my opinion, bare minimum of what you've got to do to start to define that strategy. And I would argue, to the leaders out there who want to be big thinkers and stay at 60,000 feet and they get frustrated and they don't want to get in the weeds. It's like, okay, but like, how are people going to know that we've reached your vision or not if you don't define some of those things?
Yeah. How, like, do you feel like leaders in defining that strategy, do they need to dig in more into the details, or is it being able to paint the picture with more clarity?
I think about it. So this is great, because I think about it like a connect the dots, right? I can't tell you the last time I did a connect the dot picture, right?
Yeah.
But you ever look at those connect the dot pictures and you go, oh, that's a fish, right? You can tell there's just a bunch of dots and numbers on a page.
Yeah.
But you can tell it's a fish, right? I think a lot of times as leaders, we paint a vision and we expect everybody else to know how to get there. And it's like, no, man, let's break it down. The picture's still there, but let's put some dots on the paper so people know where to draw their pen around to make that picture of a fish. So it's like, you and I can tell it's a fish, but if we just draw all over the place, it's not going to look like a fish. So we've got to go in order and put that thing together.
That's probably one of the biggest challenges that can happen if a visionary hasn't taken enough time to get into the details, is the picture starts being painted and people go, we hear what you're saying, but what we're looking at as you're describing this doesn't sound anything like a fish.
Yeah.
This is just a blob. And people don't get fired up about a blob. So conversely, because we can talk about some of those challenges of what happened, but when you, or when the visionary doesn't communicate well, but when a vision, whether it's a visionary or integrator, but when an organization has a clear strategy that's well defined, like, what are some of the things that begin to happen?
Well, what happens when you get it clear? Man, you start to build momentum, right? You start to see people engaged more. You start to see people making progress. And you start to see results, right? I think a lot of times people get frustrated with their strategy or with their implementation when they don't see results.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, if all you're thinking about is the end state, it's going to take you a while to get there. And there's going to be more dips and frustrations and hurdles. And so when you define a really good strategy, you have kind of markers along the way to help you progress well.
When you think about, some of the roadblocks that leaders run into, like we had the original thing, but let's just dig in a little bit more. What are some of the biggest roadblocks you see that leaders end up running into when they don't define the strategy?
I think broadly, one of the pieces of a good strategy is making sure you understand your constraints. And you know, I think oftentimes you run into a constraint that you didn't realize you had in the strategy, or a hurdle that you weren't expecting. And so understanding, what are my pinch points going to be? You know, when am I going to have to make really hard decisions? Cause at some point you're going to come into conflict with what you want to do, and whether that's, you know, trying to get a short-term win, cause short-term wins are good, but sometimes they can take away from a long-term benefit. And so, you hit a roadblock and you take a short-term win because it feels good or it feels exciting. It's, you know, kind of shiny object syndrome, but it takes away from your long-term goal. And so when you've got a really good defined strategy and you're working towards it, it helps you remember the long-term goal, what you're trying to get at. And you can dismiss, or you can kind of set that short-term win aside, knowing that in the end, it's going to be a better, bigger win.
If a strategy isn't well defined, if it's not implemented well, how have you noticed that can affect team members?
In the worst case, right, you end up losing team members,
right?
Because they're going to bail, they're going to go find something that is fulfilling and doing that. But short of that, you know, frustration, people feel overworked maybe they aren't overworked, but they're doing work that they don't feel like matters, or they don't know how their work connects to the rest of the organization. I see that all the time in bigger organizations, but even in small organizations where there's, you know, 10 or 15 people, if they feel disconnected from the rest of the team, they don't feel like their work influences others, or they don't see what comes to them from other team members. They can get lonely. They can get kind of set aside, and then they think their work doesn't matter. It's a it's a snowball effect there, right? Of everything's got to connect and work together, even if it's ancillary. It contributes to the organization in such a way that lets you get towards where you're going.
I think of so many leaders getting really excited about the original idea, and then the squeeze hits. Mm-hmm. You know, the challenges come. Sometimes leaders can get lost in their own heads. Have you seen ways that leaders are able to continue to define, keep that vision out front in a way that people are engaged with, keep that strategy connected into people's hearts so that, I mean, your people are getting squeezed as well. How do you continue to keep people engaged in that over a long haul?
I think, a lot of that is specific to the culture of an organization or the personality of the leader.
Yeah.
And how they do that and what it makes, but it's gotta be a regular cadence, right? It's gotta be, for a lot of us individuals, it's about reviewing our values and our core, you know, in the morning, right? Or taking a weekly sabbatical, a weekly Sabbath to go focus on what's important. And that drives you through the rest of the week, right? For an organization, those things are the same, right? Whether it's a big town hall meeting with the CEO once a quarter, where they talk about how we're doing and remember the goal and focus, whether it's a decal on your laptop that you remember, hey, this is why I'm here working. Reminders are important, and continuing to tie that back in. You know, you and I have talked about it. It comes up in leader growth groups that, like, as a leader, if you aren't annoyed at what you're saying over and over again, then your people aren't hearing it yet.
Yeah.
Right. And so you've got to continue to just beat that drum all the time over and over again.
There's an interesting thing that does happen when there's a well-defined strategy. You've already mentioned it. I mean, people jump in, they get engaged, they're bought in. I think as well, like just going back into this idea of defined and implemented, because those two are not the same thing. So sometimes somebody defines it really well up front, but then we don't implement it. So how does it affect team members when it's defined and then the implementation it starts, you know, I don't know if we'd just say speed bumps, or if we'd say there's such a long series of red lights that they get camped out at, that it just feels like start and stop. How does that end up affecting teams?
Well, you get run around, right? And you get frustrated and you start looking for shortcuts, which undermine your strategy. I think ultimately it leads to questioning the strategy, maybe questioning the vision. But when you start to question those things, again, you know, culture comes in and what's the culture of the organization? Can they bring that up? Can they talk about it? Are there opportunities to reengage? And that can be a pivot point for people, for team members to go, hey, can we get this back on track or not? And then they start to check out it if they can't.
Hmm. You know, Traction has this story that Gino Wickham tells early on, and he talks about the entrepreneur who's holding on to a rope. And he has an equal distance up a cliff and equal distance in a drop for him to be able to go forward. You know, he says a prayer, essentially, is there any way off of this? And he hears a voice from heaven saying, let go of the rope. And then he says, is there anything else I could do? Cause he doesn't want to let go.
Yeah.
I think as we're talking about this, there's, you know, this undercurrent, there's a principle in here about defining and implementing, which means I'm not going to be able to do it all myself. What's the power of both embracing constraints but also letting go? Can you talk a little bit about that for a leader?
This is one of my favorite things, I think, to see leaders grow in, is the idea that you can let go without losing control. And there's so many times that leaders want to know they have control, and they want to know what's going on, and they want to drive it, that they can't let go, right? They don't want to let go of the rope. And when it's done really well, they're able to let go, but know that they're still in control of where that vehicle is going. And that comes in a lot of ways, right? It's some of it's up here, right? Some of it's mental, and it's coaching, and it's mindset, but some of it is, a word most people hate. Some of it's process and procedures, right? But some of it is just definition, right? If you've got your core values set, if you've got your priorities straight, if you've got a strategy in place, those are all guardrails in your business running down the road that your employees, your team members, even your customers, right? Everybody inside of your kind of sphere can know where you're going and how to get there. And as a leader, you can be confident that you can let go of those things, knowing that they are going in the right direction and they're going to get to where they need to.
I think about the words process and procedure. It's interesting how those words come up, because when we talk about it in a business sense, a lot of people, especially people who like to go fast, they go, whoa, we don't need another process happening here. However, some of those same people might look at somebody like Kobe Bryant, and Kobe talked about process more than almost any other athlete, and the importance of the daily consistency, being able to get into the very details of what you're doing. So talk a little bit more about some of the things that process and procedure, you know me well, Phil, I'm not a natural process guy. I lean a lot more towards what I would just refer to as the creative side. I like constraints until constraints don't work with what I want to do at that time. What are some of the things that constraints do give us? What are some of the gifts that come to us through process and procedure?
Well, here's why it's important, right? And this is, I think SGA had a quote after a game last week, right? What did he say? He says everything is consistent in life, right? How does it come out and perform so well, right?
Share that one on. Yeah,
right. It's consistency, right? It doesn't matter, right? I mean, I think even just the way you talk about it, you talk about constraints, and it keeps you from being creative. I think boundaries and constraints give us the freedom to create and do what we need to do. Because you don't worry about going all over the place. You know you're where you need to be, right? I don't think a conversation with you comes up without talking about Dr. Henry Cloud, right? So let's talk about boundaries, right? If we don't set good boundaries, we don't know how to operate. And that's all those things are, right? It's consistency, it's boundaries, it's the ability to know what's going on so that you can have the freedom to go do what you need to do.
That's really good. I can say within my own life, like, even though there are moments where I'm like, I would rather play into no constraints as far as the creative process. When I look back, my most creative times have been when I've embraced constraints. Even one of the constraints I think back to 4 years ago around this time is writing a book, but it was the constraint of being in my home. You know, like when we were all embracing our constraints, some really interesting things are able to happen. In fact, there were a lot of new businesses that came out of constraints at that time, because people realize I can't think through, I can't do all of these other things I would be doing. I'm in this space. So how do I think about things a little bit differently?
Yeah, there are so many businesses that are started in downturns, right? Because people are constrained financially, the job market's rough, whatever. And look at the thriving businesses that get started in those situations, right? And so that's where, constraints, struggles, those things we can look at them negatively, but really they're opportunities.
So we've got the power of constraints, and the power of constraints are going to help us implement at a much higher level. I want to come back to this idea about our strategy. And, sometimes our strategy, it feels like we're hitting a lot of red lights, or we're hitting stop signs, which I'm saying that more when leaders get distracted, or when leaders stop communicating, when leaders take their eye off the ball, their team often feels like they're at a red light, at a stop sign. We can start going forward again. Sometimes it's not, though, that we're going in the same direction. Sometimes our strategy swerves. Have you ever been in a space? I'm not going to ask you to name your organization, but have you ever been in a space where you noticed that the strategy was swerving way off course?
Yeah, I mean, it happens for good reason and it happens for bad reasons as well. And so, you know, the times when you really feel like it's productive, it's fun, right? And you get to enjoy kind of a new landscape or taking a turn, right, and experiencing new things. When it happens and it distracts from the ultimate goal, or it becomes frustrating because it happens too often, right? Then it gets scary or it gets uncomfortable. And so I think as a leader, how you do that matters. And so if you're a leader facing that situation, you can frame it such that your team members, embrace it. You can frame it such that your team members decide they don't want to be a part of that strategy anymore. Or, you can leave it unframed and ignore it and just act like everything is status quo or normal. And that's the problem, I think, when I see most of these situations, is the leader didn't address it adequately. And so whether it's intentional or not, shifts in strategy or shifts in direction, have to be addressed. And, not just, hey, I'm going to tell you to go do something else, or we're going to shift our focus. You have to talk about the why. You have to talk about where it fits in the organizational vision. You have to talk about what you're going to get there, to do those things. And that's oftentimes where we miss, is we think it in our head and we understand it. And so we think everybody else does. And oftentimes they don't, or they don't understand it well enough.
Oh, that's good. So I can think it in my head. I see this shift and now I'm going to move in that direction. And then, I think as well, just, you know, sometimes leaders run into, I know I've run into this. It's the thing you talked about earlier. It's the good thing. It's the shiny object. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's perceived as a brand new, exciting opportunity. How do you deal with swerves when there's shiny opportunities, but the effect of it, it can really have a massive effect on the team and the organization's long-term success?
I think first of all is just understanding perspective, right? We talked about going from the weeds to 60,000 feet. And did you take time to really evaluate it on a long-term scale? And is that short-term benefit or is that shiny object really that much better in the long run? Sometimes it is, right? I mean, sometimes there are those situations where absolutely it is. And sometimes it's not. And sometimes we just miss it. So I think taking the perspective to understand, you know, 3-5 years from now, is this going to be as important or as impactful as I think it is right now?
Do you feel like that's a greater danger for the larger organizations, like in larger organizations and their leaders, or let's say small business owners with teams 10, 15, maybe 20, 30 people? Who's in more danger of making that quick move, and how can they create some safeguards for themselves?
I think it looks very different, but I think it's just as impactful.
Yeah.
Either way, right? I mean, I think this is a classic debate in enterprise world of, are we chasing what's best for the organization and for the future, or are we hitting that quarterly profit number? And you're starting to see some big organizations who are telling Wall Street, we're not going to report quarterly anymore because we go chase this quarterly number and it kills us 2 years from now. We're killing our future because you want a quarterly number right now.
Wow.
And that's huge. But in a small to medium size enterprise, right? 10, 15, 20, even 50 employees. It feels easier to make those pivots because you're agile, and that's what makes it good, is you can be really good at it. But it can also drastically change your results 2 to 5 years from now. And so you really have to be intentional with, just because you can do something and maybe even you're good at it, is it the right thing to do?
That's good. I think like one of the most dangerous things that, I've seen happen, one of the most dangerous things that I think consistently tempted with is the new exciting thing, right? Because there's, as a visionary, the possibilities are endless. But that new idea doesn't necessarily create the outcomes that you think. And when you swerve, there are going to be a lot of things that you were focused on that now you're not going to be focused on because you've locked in on that new area. And so all of the things that were getting time, focus, energy are not getting those any longer. Implementation can be really difficult. You know, strategic implementation, it's not an overnight thing. How do you help guide leaders to a full implementation, like long-term implementation? What does that look like?
Typically, it's depending on what role I'm serving in, right? Sometimes it's a coach, sometimes it's an implementer or a kind of a strategic person on the ground doing work. But it's perspective. The easy word to say is accountability, but it's not always, you know, holding people accountable. It's making sure things get done when they should get done. It's ensuring that those plans are followed through on. It's all these things we've talked about for the past 10 minutes. It's making sure that those distractions don't take away from what we're doing. Are we keeping the final goal, the final vision in perspective, or are we losing it? Yeah. So it's a lot of questions and answers, right? I spend a lot of time asking questions and listening than I do telling.
So 405 leadership advisors, you're coaching, you're a strategic voice for people. You're guiding them to the future that they do desire. Why do leaders need a guide, an outside voice, even a coach to help them define and implement strategy?
Man, this is, I think most leaders understand the value of coaching, the value of having a guide, someone there with you. It's perspective. Blind spots are by name something you can't see, right? You've got to have somebody else who can help show those to you and point those out to you and navigate around them. So many times those blind spots are in our heads, right? And we can tell ourselves stories. We can tell ourselves that we're doing everything we can. But until you get somebody else to kind of speak into that and listen to what you're seeing, you don't get that perspective. Basketball, right, is a great point of that, right? Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, every single basketball player that you know, right? Every professional athlete, they don't have one coach, they have many. Because they need that different perspective, they need that different accountability, they need somebody who can look at what they're doing and say, hey, you're doing really good, but let's try this. Hey, you're doing really good, try this. Hey, I'm seeing this, are you seeing that? How does that feel when you do that? You know, doing that.
You know, I think that the idea sometimes when we think about coaching is the more challenging the team member is, the worse off somebody is, the more that they need coaching. And there's a part of that does ring true. But the other side is the better that you are, the better that you get, the more that you do need coaching.
I think especially, you know, in the coaching world, when we hang out with coaches and talk about it a lot, right? There's always been this perspective that coaching was disciplinary or it was remedial. And we're seeing that. I think that's totally shifted now. I think you're seeing that idea that people understand to be a high achiever, you need a good coach. Not to get there, but once you're there, you should have a coach.
That's good. For you personally, what are some of the things that you love about the coaching process, Phil? I know you've been doing this a while now. So what are some of the things that you do love about it?
I love the aha moments, right? And the moments where my coachees see something new or realize something new and they get to jump into that. One of my favorite things it's basically my job is to facilitate your monologue, right? is like, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to coach you through what you know you need to do. You just haven't figured it out yet. And so I just get to kind of walk beside you and listen and talk and point out things that I see and let you run through them.
You know, I think Craig Rochelle has this great quote. He says, when the leader gets better, everyone gets better. Maxwell talks about the law of the lid. When it comes to coaching, how have you seen some of those things come to life in both leaders and in the organizations that they serve?
Yeah. I think team members and kind of general public, we look at leaders as, hey, they need to tell me what's going on, or they're setting the vision and they've made it and they're there, or that's where I need to be. So I'm going to try to work to get there. From a leader perspective, right, we all have those moments where we have imposter syndrome, or we question what we're doing or how we're doing it. And so I love Groeschel's quote, because as the leader grows, everybody else has an opportunity to come up and meet that. And as a leader, most leaders aren't going to stick around very much if they're not growing, right? Once you've hit that place, you want to get better. You want to grow, you want to do those things. And so, it keeps you from stagnating. It keeps you from stagnating yourself, but also your organization. And they see that, and it helps everybody.
That's so good. Well, Phil, I want to say thank you for joining us today, pouring into the Leader Growth community. Today, we've been talking about how to define and implement your strategy. Once again, if you are interested in a free coaching session, I'm telling you, this is a crazy deal. Phil Klutz, you get a free coaching session. If you get selected for this, you have until April 11th to apply. Go to 405leadership.com/LG. Phil, thank you for being a good friend to me. Thank you for what you've done and helping bring leader growth to life, being able to impact lives through this. But more than that, thank you for what you're doing for our community and all the leaders that you're pouring into, that you're developing. It's an honor to just be with you. And it's an honor to call you friend.
All right. Fantastic, man. I appreciate the opportunity. I love what Leader Growth has done for me personally and professionally, and the opportunities and the growth that I've had. And I'm happy to pour back into your community and come alongside you once again. David, you're a great friend and a great mentor. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Watch me demonstrate. See, I'm determined and dedicated. Yep. Watch what I create. And when resistance is persistent, I go harder in a pain. Okay. I just put you up on game so I can watch you elevate.
Let's fly. Yeah. Wake up in the morning, no snooze. No snooze. Start my day off with a prayer. I won't